After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Friends, as we journey together through these few weeks leading up to Lent, we focus our attention on what it means to follow Jesus in our everyday lives. Today we have the call story of Simon and his brother Andrew. A call story is the story of how men and women came to follow Jesus. Their stories teach us that following Jesus is both a gift and a demand. Our scripture reading for this morning begins with Jesus's first sermon. As far as sermons go, it's a pretty straightforward one. Jesus tells the crowd gathered in Galilee to repent and believe the good news, because the kingdom of God has come near. What Jesus is saying here is that a new way of living is coming, one where God is going to restore creation to its intended glory. Everyone who is suffering now will find relief. Everyone who is abusing others now will be brought low. If you want to be a part of this kingdom, says Jesus, then you need to repent of your old ways of living. You can do this by worshiping God for who God is and for what God has done. But you can also repent by responding to my call in your daily lives. Jesus then provides the crowd with an illustration of what this might look like. As he walks along the Sea of Galilee, he invites Simon and his brother Andrew to come and follow him. Simon and Andrew were fishermen, about to start their day's labor. Upon hearing Jesus' call, Simon and Andrew immediately drop their nets and follow Jesus into the unknown. Simon and Andrew are going to become some of Jesus' first disciples, who then dedicate their lives to inviting others into this life of discipleship. What I've always appreciated about Simon and Andrew's call story is how uncomplicated it is. Simon and Andrew don't ask Jesus a ton of questions. They don't ask to see Jesus' five-year plan. They don't even check in with their families to ask them, "Hey, is now a good time for me to take an unexpected break from my life and my responsibilities?" They just drop their nets and follow him. I think for a lot of us who grew up in the church, our call stories feel similarly uncomplicated. I know for me, I come from a family where somebody in my family always had a set of keys to the church. My mother is a deacon at her church. My grandfather was the church treasurer of St. Michael's Orthodox Church from the mid-1960s until his death in 2016. As a kid, some of my earliest memories are roaming the halls of my church unsupervised because there was this beautiful hour after school in between when the bus would drop me off and between when kids' club would start. For me, following Jesus, becoming a Christian, came as naturally to me as when I put a chair in my parking space after I have dug it out on the street. Some of you know that I serve on a committee of our presbytery. This committee is called the Commission on Preparation for Ministry. And the goal of this committee is to help men and women figure out if God is calling them to serve as a minister of word and sacrament. One of the first things I do when I get a new student under my care is I ask them to tell me how they came to follow Jesus. Listening to their stories, I'm learning that not everyone had an uncomplicated Paul story. In fact, many people have very complicated call stories. One of the students that I'm working with left a 25-year career as the supervisor of the technical department at PNC Bank. When I asked her how she came to the decision to quit her job and go to seminary, she said, "Well, God just kept bugging me until I finally gave in." She's now pastoring two churches in upstate New York. Another student I'm working with was a corporate lawyer for 30 years when her husband died unexpectedly. Her daughter set her up with one of those online dating profiles, and that's where she met her current husband. The only problem is her current husband lives here in Pittsburgh, and she is originally from Georgia. So after they married, she moved up here. Her husband encouraged her to join his church so that she could meet other people in the area. And the next thing she knew, she found herself in seminary considering a call to chaplaincy ministry. So she's interested in working with people that are living in nursing homes or in the hospital. My favorite students, not that I play favorites with my students, but if I'm being honest, I have a favorite student. This student took, well, whoops. This particular student, sorry, Kristen, took 10 years to get through seminary. And I fully believe he only graduated from seminary because his wife got pregnant with twins, and that motivated him to finish. But despite having twin boys who I don't think slept for the first year of their life, this student eventually graduated and is now pastoring a church in Washington, PA. Friends, the point I'm trying to make here is that God's call can be complicated or it can be uncomplicated. But irregardless, I think all calls have two things in common. God's call is always both a gift and a demand. It's a gift because we didn't deserve it and we haven't done anything to earn it. Now, I believe that God calls everyone to serve him in a way that best suits their unique gifts and talents. And oftentimes, how God invites us to serve him is better than anything we could have dreamed of or imagined. That God would continue to call ordinary men and women to do extraordinary things with their one wild and precious life never ceases to amaze me. But friends, God's call is also a demand. And the demand is a call to action. Once we've figured out what God is calling us to do, we are to respond in faith. For some of us, this is going to mean dropping our nets and following God into the unknown. For some of us, this is going to mean leaving family, home, and career in pursuit of God's vision. But for others of us, it is going to mean being faithful to the mundane tasks that benefit the common good. Things like raising children, or caregiving, or working at a job that maybe you don't love, but it allows you to provide for your family. Friends, my hope and my prayer for us as we enter this new year and this new phase of the coronavirus pandemic is that we would prayerfully discern what God is asking each one of us to do, to be open to the new things God may be calling us to be willing to risk big things for God, and to take one tiny step in the direction of God's vision. I know that this last year has asked a lot of us, but I think the blessing of this last year is that we all learned we are capable of rising to the challenges laid out before us. We are capable of great sacrifice for the sake of our neighbors. We are capable of finding meaning and even perhaps joy as our world is being turned upside down. But most importantly, I hope that this last year has taught us that we are a people of hope. And the season of ordinary time is teaching us how we can bear witness to this hope in our everyday lives. Friends, we are capable of doing these things because a little baby born in Bethlehem, who grew up to forever alter the course of human history, walks alongside us. The gift of God made flesh is a gift worth sharing with those who haven't received it yet. Whether our call stories are complicated or uncomplicated, I have faith that we will meet the demands of God's call so that we might share the gift of Jesus with a world in need of good news. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.